good evening. I'm Rick Danzer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Danzer. We're going to talk about something really important tonight, and I think you're going to really like it. I think a lot of parents in Oregon are very frustrated. I think parents all over the country are frustrated, and people are looking for ways to find school choice. You choosing, your tax dollars are being used to fund education, but you're funding public education. And what if your kids don't, you don't want them to go to a public school, or you just have, your kids have other needs. There's a Willamette, the Leadership Academy is really good with kids that are having trouble in regular school. And so a parent sends their child there and they have to double dip. So they have to pay to send their kid there. They have to pay to send them somewhere else. Then they're paying for public education. So why shouldn't that money follow you? It's your dollars, it's your kids, and you should have a choice as to where you put it. I'm discovering that I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-gun choice. I'm pro-school choice. I'm pro-what I put in my body choice. I have all kinds of pro-choice in my world. And a lot of parents are starting to see, I think after the dark time, a lot of parents saw that what was going on, and they want something different for their kids. So this is not a show about anti-public schools. This is a show that's pro parents being involved and in charge of their school, their kids' education. And our show is sponsored by New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center. Matt McCarl is a big believer in freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of choice. If you've never gone to have hyperbaric treatment, you should go in there and try it. I think the first one, if you mention it, it's Rick Danzer. If you mention it, I think he'll give you a break on it. So that's Matt McCarl, New Leaf Hyperbarics. And then our other sponsor is Chris Dental Family Dentistry, Dr. Michael Bratlin, who is a big believer in freedom and takes it, gets really, in fact, he ran for the school board in at 4J, put in thousands of dollars, did not win, but guess what? He opened a conversation. And that's sometimes what an election is all about, but he's not afraid to get involved. So we got our topic tonight. Here's Donna from Education. It's right behind your head. Duck your head. Yeah, Education Freedom for Oregon. There. Okay, now put your head back up. And, sorry, Donna. I didn't mean to kick you off. That's what we do to guests to cover up their logo. See? Don't you ever do that again. And then Jessica is a parent. Jessica, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to talk first to Donna about education for what is Education Freedom for Oregon? What is this all about?
Well, we are a nonprofit, parent, grandparent driven, powered, nonpartisan group of people who believe that all of our children have huge potential, but that unfortunately with our system right now in Oregon, not all our kids are able to reach their full learning potential. There are limitations that are based on where they live or how much money their parents have. Or maybe the child has a learning, either they're super smart, but they're not being challenged, or they're having some difficulties that are not being addressed. So we're a group of parents who are bringing two measures to the Oregon Constitution to give parents the ability to choose, because parents know their children. We want the parents to say, hey, my children have these needs, and I need one of my child to be in a public school, and maybe another child needs to be in a private school that's a smaller, more focused environment. Or one of my children needs to be in a virtual charter, whatever. Parents know their children, they know the needs, and we think all children have huge potential that isn't being met, but that could be met if the parents are given the ability to choose the environment. So our two measures that we're collecting signatures for right now will be on the November of 24 ballot, and once they're passed by citizens of Oregon, parents will then have the power to choose the learning environment, and then all of our children will get a great education, and it'll help have Oregon become a premier education center, and it'll help our public school teachers, our students, our parents. It's just a wonderful opportunity to make sure our kids get a great good education.
How many signatures do you need, Donna?
Well, we have two measures. Each measure, we want to get 250,000 signatures.
Or
we
each
have
one.
The end of June of 24 to do that.
Okay. I just talked to a guy who's going to be on tomorrow night, who's looking at the open primary in Oregon, and they need 200,000 signatures by the same date. And then they would be on. This could be 2024 could be a really interesting election, because, and I think what's good about it is because they're going to have this, you know, I think it's going to be a nasty campaign for president. And then you're going to have these two issues that are really offering people a choice, like giving yourself a better choice like yours, and then the open primary in Oregon to make you more involved in the election story. This could be a really interesting November of 2024, you know, and it seems like a good time to have you guys on. I want to get more, Donna. You and I've talked before, and there's some really interesting ideas about your ballot measures that I think is super smart that other states didn't do. Because I know that there's a move in the country to do this, isn't it? I mean, other states are doing it already.
Yes. 2021 was considered the year of school choice. There were about 17 states that either enacted or expanded their existing programs. We now have about 11 states that have enacted recently private school choice programs, of which about 8 of those are universal, which means all children apply and all children are accepted. Oregon's, as you mentioned, is different because in all of the other states, and there are about 65 to 70 private school choice programs, those states have all done their programs through the legislature and they became statutes. So all the other states in America that have school choice programs were creatures of the legislature. Ours, because our Oregon legislature has been hostile and refuses to provide school choice as options to parents, we knew we couldn't wait for the legislature to do something. We knew as parents, we need to do this ourselves. So we wrote these as parents for parents, and we are bringing our two measures as constitutional amendments, which means our measures bypass the legislature, it bypasses the governor, and it goes right into a vote by the citizens and then goes into our constitution. And
that
the beauty
is so
of that
smart.
Is it's the parents that are writing this, it's the parents that are bringing it, and it's parents who are going to benefit, parents and students and public school teachers. So we're going to be the only one in the country that's doing constitutional measures. We have the two measures, which are basically each side of the coin, open enrollment and school choice, to allow parents to choose any of the four environments, public school, private school, charter school, homeschool. So we're going to be unique in Oregon, and our measures as constitutional will have protection for parents, teachers, private schools, homeschoolers that no other states will have.
And because the danger is if you don't do what you're doing and do what other states do, you know, a new party comes in, controls the legislature, puts up a bill and dissolves all the work that's been done. And then all those kids are thrown back into a school situation that may not be the best thing for them. And with this one, no party, it's we the people have decided, and it becomes part of the Oregon Constitution. I'm sorry I'm smiling so much, but that is so smart. So, and you know your biggest opponent is going to be the Oregon Education Association and the National Education Association. They are not going to sit by and watch this one happen. They're going to be throwing millions of dollars, which is why people really need to get involved.
Mm-hmm. We need people as volunteers. We need people to help us get our signatures, and we need people to help us donate. Because it doesn't just happen by itself. I mean, I work 16 hours a day for free because I love this, and I want to help these kids that I'll never meet. But we also have advertising costs and printing costs and mailing costs and all those sort of things. So it's a big endeavor. And but the important thing here is that the teachers unions don't need to be against it, because it will help the teachers union's main beneficiary, I guess, which is public school teachers, because all the other states that have school choice, they have been able to show that having private school choice around a public school system actually improves the performance of the students in the public schools. It helps the public school teachers, which are important to us because they've worked very hard to get their credentials and they love teaching. And right now they're really not being listened to by their administrators. Whereas once school choice is there, now they can know that they will be listened to because they have the ability to leave. They have the ability to go work at a private school or they can go out and start their own school. So these administrators are going to say, hey, you know, we really want Mr. Smith as the ninth grade math teacher. We want to listen to him and make sure he stays here because we don't want to lose him to some other opportunity. So it
competition
helps
is good.
Really matter. It helps the kids, it helps the parents, and it helps the teachers. So the teachers union, if they really do represent teachers, they should be thrilled with this.
So Jessica, you're a parent. Tell this whenever you're comfortable with your story, why you're getting involved in this. Because I know that, you know, Donna, I asked her to get somebody who'd be affected by this, and I'd love to hear your story.
So we pulled our kids out of public school 4 years ago before the coronavirus. So we knew at the end of my middle son's fifth grade year that we would not be going on to middle school with our school district. And so we were already doing a homeschool charter when coronavirus hit. And so we were already kind of set up and it was great. But we left the public school system because they did not address so many issues. My son has ADHD.
Yeah.
He's high functioning autistic. He has Tourette's and he has a couple different kinds of anxiety. And he had been doing quite well, a very happy, amazing kid. And then enters the one kid who's the bully. Came in from another school. We found out later that this kid had the same type of problems at his other elementary school. And they don't send those records with them. So they get a free clean slate start at every elementary school they go to. And so it affected my son so much that he was becoming hurtful to himself, becoming super angry. He was the kid who caused room clears. You know, he was throwing chairs and desks and because he couldn't express himself, he didn't know how. And so, of course, he gets pegged as the bad kid.
Right.
And so we decided, I mean, his psychiatrist had already written a letter to the school saying, hey, you got to do something. This is getting out of hand. This is now affecting his mental health in a really terrible way.
So would your dream, like with this, with school choice, because you're homeschooling now, which is your choice at this point.
We homeschool through a charter, actually, which is kind of a unique charter in that our charter, we actually go in person once a week for 3 hours. And the kids, so he's in high school now, and so he just finished his freshman year. And when we started him there, he was reading at a first grade level, and they were ready to ship him off to sixth grade into middle school. And I fought and said, he's not ready.
Right.
And emotionally, he's not ready. You know, he's just not ready. And they said, he's going. We don't hold kids back anymore is basically how the district's run now. And so 4 years later, he's reading and his math, everything is at grade level. And that's because we got to choose the curriculums that fit him better, a way for him to learn. And, you know, I have a younger son who is totally the opposite side of that and is so gifted that, you know, he's a sixth grader doing eighth grade math. And so he was just like falling through the cracks in the school system in the fact that he was bored. And I didn't even realize it until we had him at home, just how smart he was.
Well, and isn't that, I mean, Oregon is like so low on the report card for what's going on. And it's, I think it's what I feel like. I have one of my sons who this, you know, I won't get real personal with them, but he doesn't learn that the way that here's this system. And it's not, I'm not knocking. I'm saying you treat a certain group of kids and they're all getting their education. Well, I guess that's questionable seeing the report card, but they model it for the greatest number of people. And then there's all these people on this side and this side that fall through the cracks. If we had a choice as to where we put our kids, you could go, okay, Johnny's on the spectrum. There's a school that specializes in kids on the spectrum, so he can feel really super good about himself and also get educated by experts in kids who are on the spectrum. Then you should have the choice to be able to have your tax dollars follow that and send your child to the place, because we should want what's best for every single kid. And it's not like we're not such a... We're like the wealthiest nation in the world. We have the money to be putting into schools. We're just, but we want to know where it's going. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But I'm going to do a couple of commercials here and we'll be back. I'm not done with you.
Did you know that light therapy could alleviate your pain? There's been over 60 years of study into light therapy. Blue light really works well with the skin. Red light penetrates down into the muscles to really help with muscle recovery from workouts. Infrared can go bone deep through the skull into the brain and can help promote blood flow, which can help with mental clarity. Some new light pads, they're called the Deep Light Therapy Pad. They're infrared only. They're really good for targeting areas of the body to really get deep penetration into large muscles, down to the bones, work with muscle soreness and joint pain alleviation.
Patients once in a while. I had a patient the other day that came in and said that they weren't being able to be seen at their office that they're currently at because they didn't get a vaccination. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, and so a lot of my patients actually come to us because I back the blue. I believe in freedom of speech and freedom to decide if you want to put something in your body or not. So we have like 90% of my patients, and like I accept everybody. I don't care if you have purple hair. I don't care if you're transgender. I don't care. Like, I'm accepting of everybody. I don't care. I don't really care. As long as to me, it's more important if they're just a good individual.
All right. So, Jessica, so how has this changed? Like, would you not homeschool charter the way you're doing it now, or you'd have the funding then to pay for that? What you're paying now and all that. How would this bill, these two bills, how would they affect you?
So the amount of money that follows a child into the public school versus the stipend that we get through our charter school is hugely, different. We get $800 a year to pay for all of their curriculum and to help pay for any extracurriculars that they do. As long as they're, PE taught, very educational based, obviously. There's a pretty rigorous thing that you have to go through to get that money. And so it has been just life changing, actually, in our house, being able to have that freedom of choice to be able to go to a different school that met our needs. And having him, this is a charter school. They have a student council. They do prom and homecoming. It's a great school, and yet they only go once a week for 3 hours unless they do other activities on campus. But the parents choose the curriculum that best suits their child.
So if you could get a percentage more of that public funding, the dollars that you put into that child for your school, they could go more often. You could get even more education services, better computers, classes, that kind of thing, I'm guessing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, extracurricular type activities are very expensive. If you want your child to do karate, if you want them to do fencing, girls like to do gymnastics. These activities are very expensive.
Yeah.
And when you're paying for your child's curriculum and then looking at that, $800 doesn't really go that far.
Yeah, no.
And the charter that we go to doesn't have to abide by that 3% cap that a lot of schools have to follow these virtual charters because we actually go in once a week. We are technically an in-person charter and we avoid that 3% cap there.
Okay.
And so, but if you want to go to a different charter school, and there are other ones out there that are far more flexible than the one I'm at, give $1,500, $2,000 for you to spend on everything. But in my school district, which is the Springfield School District, they hold that 3% cap super tight. They do not release anyone. I had a girlfriend who has three kids, none of them have been in the Springfield School District ever. And she wanted to change charters to a more flexible one. She was going to college to become a teacher. And they refused her release. They would not release her from the school district.
And Donna, this would take, with these two measures, would that make it so that the school boards, it would be the Constitution of Oregon that says it. So, because right now, I know we don't want to get down on public schools, but there is this, right now, they can approve a charter school or not approve a charter. I mean, they have all the power at the school board level, and it doesn't benefit them in their minds to be sending kids to charter schools or other things because they want the $5,800 or whatever it is for their school district, and they're losing some of that money.
Well, the open enrollment amendment that we're bringing will help alleviate a lot of what Jessica's referring to, because what we're trying to do with the open enrollment amendment is we're saying, look, if a parent wants to stay in the public school system, but they want to choose any public schools, any charter school, any traditional brick and mortar school, our measure will allow them to do that. We won't have this 3% cap anymore. We won't have boundaries. So any school that they want to choose, if that school has available space, their child will be able to go there. So for the 3% cap, that won't exist anymore. So a parent that's assigned to one school district can choose any virtual charter school anywhere in Oregon. And if you're assigned to one district, you'll be able to choose anything in that district or just blow through the boundaries and go to any public school in Oregon. So yeah. What we're trying to do there is make sure that if you want to stay in the public school, you can have any public school that you want as long as that school has room. We're not displacing any of the kids that currently attend that school, but a lot of schools have empty space. Maybe they have 5 extra chairs in the 7th grade.
Right.
Let's make sure those chairs get filled with students who want to go to that school.
So now, Donna, isn't there...
if they can go to any public school, any charter school.
Now, isn't there something else with one of your bills? Because I remember telling my wife this, and not all the money that each kid, to be fair to the public schools, parents like, Jessica would still be paying some of the money for her tax would go into the public schools as well. Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Right. So in Oregon, we have a pot of money that we pay in Oregon income tax, Oregon property tax, and then there's other monies that fund our public schools that we don't touch at all. Those are federal monies and grants and things like that. So for the school choice amendment, what we're saying there is if you don't want your child in the public school system for whatever reason, bullying, or you want a smaller environment, or you want your child to be challenged more or whatever, you can opt out of the public system, take basically half of the money that would otherwise be spent on your child in the public school, take it with you and spend it and customize it on private options like private school, homeschool, tutoring, educational therapy, and so forth. So it takes about $16,000 to educate a child right now in a public school. And a parent that chooses not to be in a public school anymore and bring their child out only is taking with them about $7,600. So that remainder, the spread between the $16,000 that it costs right now and what a child would be leaving with, remains in the public school system. So it results in more amount of money spent on the students who remain in public schools. So there's two different issues here. There's the, if you want to choose any public school, like Jessica and her friends, they won't have the issue of, do I have to get permission from where I'm assigned? No, we don't have any permissions anymore. You will be able to choose as the parent which public school or charter school works best for your child. You won't have to ask permission from where you're assigned or permission from where you want to go. It's just a matter of, is there space available where you want to go? And then for those parents who say, public school's not working for my child, I want to opt out of the public school system. I want to take a portion of the money with me. Because remember, if you're right now, everybody's paying taxes into the pot, and that pot is primarily spent only in the public schools. But that's not the intent of our Oregon Constitution. Our Oregon Constitution says, hey, all that money that we're spending, we're giving it to the government in trust for the government to then make sure all of Oregon kids get a good education. Right. Well, that's not happening right now. The money is getting sort of log jammed over at the public side. So a parent right now who wants to send their child to a private school or homeschool, they have to write two checks. They have to write the tax check, and then they have to write a tuition check or buy curriculum. So they're treated as a second class citizen. We're going to do away with that for the most part, because all of our kids deserve an education in the best environment. And we want to make sure parents have the ability and don't have a financial burden to overcome.
That also, because I told my wife this and she was really irritated because she goes, how come they only get half? That's not fair. And I said, honey, that's because that is one of the big gripes that's always held up legislation like this, is the teachers unions and the public and the legislators saying, well, you're not paying into the system for all the other kids to get the help that they need for the poor, you know, poor kids that can't afford this, which, you know, all that, which doesn't make sense, because for $7,600, I mean, you could give your even a low income kid could get a damn good education. But it's kind of, and I don't mean this like this is going to sound, Donna, but this is my lingo. It's kind of a buy off. It's like, we'll give you 50-50. This is enough for our kids. And we'll put that in. You have, that takes away one of your big arguments. And you are still, I would feel responsible to put into the public system too, just like a lot of Oregonians would. I want to help people that aren't me. And so that takes away that argument, which I think is super, super smart. And you're giving parents enough money anyway to do this. And you get other things out of that, like Jessica's ability to take her kids without having to have the grand blessing of the poobah and the school board and kissing ass to everything that walks by so that I can get my kid a good education. You've basically took away a ton of arguments against this, which is hopefully what's going to make it pass.
Well, and what I think what really is going to make it pass is parents and grandparents love their kids. And yep. Everybody knows the importance of making sure our kids get a good education. And how can we look our kids in the eye and say, no, we're going to decide to put you only in this one box and you can't get out of that box because we think that as a society, you should be in that one box. Well, we don't force those kind of choices. We let parents freely choose what clothes to wear, what food right. to buy, what entertainment to do with their children, if they're going to go to the park for the weekend or whatever. Why do we all of a sudden strip parents of the ability to choose how their children get the best education? I mean, why did that ever happen? And so what we have a system right now which says, hey, we all believe that education of our kids all over Oregon is a public good. So we've decided we're all going to put money in the hat and make sure that money educates our kids. Well, it sort of derailed somewhere, and it's not being spent on all of the Oregon kids. Instead, it's right. being spent primarily at public school. We're going to strip that back and say, you know, the focus here should be making sure our kids get a good education. And our parents who know their own children know which environment works for them. I mean, Jessica mentioned she's got three different children, and I'm sure each child has separate needs. I have two children. I know they're unique and they have different learning skills. So there's very likely families out there that could have three or four kids, and they're not all going to be in the same learning environment because of different talents and different limitations. So let's make sure that parents have the ability to choose that. And let's make sure that the money that we're all paying in trust to educate all of these Oregon kids actually does that. It actually gets to the kids and the kids get funded, not a particular building.
Well, and so much has changed in our culture too. I mean, when I was in school, you didn't know what Asperger's was. We didn't know what the spectrum was. We didn't know what mental illness was. You know, any of those things. We didn't know what anxiety was. It was, you know, so we made a system that worked, we thought at the time, and it was the best we knew. But now we have so much that I think it would be so cool if they had an Asperger's school and a school for.
Well, there will be actually across the country. There are private schools. Once private school systems come in, the private school choice programs come in. And you realize that now there's these parents out there who can opt out of the public system, have purchasing power to whatever the amount is. For Oregon, it'll be $7,600. So these parents now will have this purchasing power. So new schools will be created that cater to needs of parents. Because right now, let's say we have 100 private schools in Oregon, because the only people that really can attend these private schools are the ones who can fund both taxes and write an additional check. But right. once when we actually make the income level and finance not a burden anymore, now many more parents will have the ability to go to a private school. So there's going to be somebody who says, I'm going to make a school that caters to autism, or I'm going to make a right. school that caters to STEM subjects or arts or whatever. All yeah. these new schools will be created, as they have been across the country, to give even more opportunities, because the whole point here is We don't know. We could have a kid in a school system right now who could be the next Elon Musk and come up with a second generation battery, or a new opera singer, or a new painter, or somebody who is going to be the next person that designs some welding project. We need to find the environment that turns these kids on, lights them up, lets them reach their full learning potential. Because the alternative is we put them in a box and say, stay there, because that's the system that we've had for 100 years.
Well, see, and the other thing that does is it makes kids feel bad. If you had a whole kids school of kids like me that were weird and weren't getting picked on because you're all weird, you know, and you're all, but you have these different characteristics and stuff, then you have more people who are sure of themselves. And by doing this, I mean, we have schools that cater to those things, but most of the parents that can do that, I'm not saying are wealthy, but they're financially can afford to do that. So it's really classist. If we don't do this, we're really taking all lower, middle and lower income people and putting them at a disadvantage to not be equal. We live in a world that wants equality. Well, here's a way to make equality in education so that kids that no matter what their parents make, or that they're in a single family parent, they have every bit as big a right and ability to go to the greatest school and change their life forever. And that's what we should be doing in Oregon, is making not a cardboard cutout of here's what education looks like. I had one son that he's a fishing guide now. He didn't do well in school at all because he didn't learn the way they learn. So here's the box, and Jess is over here outside the box. And he always felt bad about himself because he'd get F's on tests and he did terrible in school. And he's a super smart kid. But if they'd had an outdoor education school, and here's the other thing I want to mention, because when you find the thing that makes someone come alive, all of a sudden, math has a reason. Reading has a purpose. My son would read any magazine about hunting and fishing and got all the words and all they said. He knows how to read. He got all that in, but you gave him Shakespeare, he didn't give a shit. So you go out there and you find the thing that makes a kid come alive, and then let them come alive. And right now, we're just saying, here, either you like Gone with the Wind or you don't. Here's the standard reading card, you know, that you have to have. What if an auto mechanic, I remember I did a show on the Springfield School District, which has a really cool auto mechanics class at the high school. And I did a show on it. A friend of mine was watching, and her son was doing horrible in a Eugene school. Just terrible. He didn't get horrible grades, had nothing. He loves cars. She transferred him immediately. All of his grades went up. He graduated with A's and B's because he found something that made him come alive, a reason to go to school. And that's what we need to do, is have schools that are giving kids reasons to get up, learn how to work, learn how to get up on time, hold down a job, take one of those 10 million jobs in the country that are sitting there, and get people off the government dole and let them feel good about themselves again, rather than trapped. Donna, I love both of your measures. I don't know how you got it. You're a smart lady, but I don't know how you came up with this, but you really have studied everything that everybody else has done and then taken the best and found more so that Oregon, and you also understand how legislators love to get their paws in there. And if you can get this as a constitutional amendment, no Democrat or Republican governor can change it, depending on their whim and what they think is the moment. And Oregon parents will once again be in charge. Gosh, I'm starting to get, now I did a show with the primary guy, or, you know, for tomorrow. So I'm kind of getting excited, even though I live in Montana. I'm thinking, you know, there would be nothing happier for me than to see my home state do better, or as well or better than Montana, just because I love my state so much. I just couldn't stay there and watch this stuff go on. I've been too involved and for too long. And my wife and I just needed some peace. But I'm still fighting for it. People go, why don't you just shut up about Oregon? I said, I will never shut up about Oregon. That ain't gonna happen. Jessica?
You need to do this because it's great for the kids. I mean, that's the focus here. We take away all the noise, take away all the static. We do this because we love our kids, and our kids deserve this. We need to get them the best education possible. We have to work within our current system, but let's make sure that the protections are there and the ability of parents to have a voice and to choose. Make a choice here for which one works best for the kid. Why would you tell a kid, Nope, you can't learn. We don't care if you're not reaching your potential. We don't care if you're being bullied. We don't care if you don't learn the way that's being taught here. That's just wrong. Let's make sure the kids get in the environment where they can light up and find that thing, whether it's hunting and fishing or cars or whatever, and have schools get developed and catered to these needs. Because the end goal here is let these kids blossom and go out into the world and become all they can be. I mean, that's probably some slogan from some.
No, but that's it's. Well, the other thing I think that we don't, you know, I know you've thought about this, but I don't think people think about this too, is I think there's a lot of teachers in Oregon and they're just bored to death. And I have friends and they're so tired of the red tape and all this. You get a little competition in there and all of a sudden yeah. Bill Johnson or Jan Myers, who loves, you know, Jan loves hunting. So she finds a school where they're going to do a hunting program. She's going to come alive too and go over and she'll be the best teacher and find, like, you know what I mean? So it's really going to invigorate everybody to go do the thing and specialize in the area. And like I said, it's not just the hunting, but they'll learn the math and you'll find ways to target all that in under that program. You'll have some of the most excited teachers. You won't have a problem finding teachers in Oregon because it'll be a profession where you're actually teaching rather than grading to some ridiculous testing standard that doesn't do anything. And you'll see kids graduating smiling going, I'm in the world, I'm gonna do something with my life, you know?
Yeah, I was talking with some parents last night and I was basically making the comparison that as parents, we know that our children have this huge potential that might be untapped. And you can make the same argument that there's a lot of teachers out there that are maybe themselves in a teaching environment where their hands are tied or they're not able to teach in the manner that they want because they have to adhere to this rule or that rule. Whereas if we can let the teachers be free to move around too, they can find the learning environment, the teaching environment that really lights them up and lets them do teaching as the love that they thought it was going to be when they went to teaching school. So it'll help the kids reach their potential. It'll give the teachers the ability. It'll have parents be listened to for the first time. So it's a win for everybody.
And Jessica, what could you imagine your son, who's a little on the spectrum, how much his life's changed and what that could do for him and others? I mean, it could be.
It's amazing. And it shouldn't be a Democrat, conservative, Republican issue. This benefits all children.
Right.
And it's super important. A lot of states are doing it. I think Donna's amazing for really getting out there and making this happen. But yeah, I mean, school choice is important. And once you create that competition, you will have teachers that actually want to teach stay. And the ones who are just there because it was the job that had the summer off, they're going to find somewhere else to go. And in Oregon, we want our kids to learn. We want them to bring up the reading level in Oregon. Let's bring back standards for our graduation. And, Oregon's kids are really the ones being robbed.
Right. Hey, both of you, thank you so much for coming and talking about this. You got me a little bit excited here. Jessica, thank you for sharing your story and your family. And I know that's personal and we just appreciate you doing that. And also just as a citizen, as a fellow human being, thank you for being a good mom and seeing what your kids needed. And then not just being like a lot of us or parents can be. It's just going, you just put up with it. You only have to be there. I mean, you went in and you said, I mean, those are hard things. And homeschooling and charter school, it's got to be, I mean, it probably wasn't your dream.
It wasn't. Yeah. I was homeschooled and hated it because I wanted to be one of the cool kids. For a short time when I was a child, I was homeschooled. And so homeschooling was definitely not, I was one of those parents who loved my children to go to school. I was not in the parking lot crying on the first day. I was celebrating with a little massage and something exciting. But now that my kids are with me every day, and it's great. We have a whole new relationship with them being with me every day. And that's something I would have never gotten had they continued in the public school.
So you said you were never one of the cool kids. I remember reading a story at a kindergarten class in Springfield, and it was about you are special. And it was talking about how people pick on people and label them and all this stuff. It's a super important story to my life because I was bullied like crazy. And I finished the story and I'm sitting there and I said, so what does that mean to you guys? And these are kindergartners. And this little kid says, Mr. Dancer, maybe the story is telling us that we're not supposed to fit in. And I literally lost it. I sat there and tears were running down my eyes. And it was like, and all the kids, you know how little kids get nervous and they all start laughing. They're kind of looking at each other and laughing, like, because I'm getting teared up here. Because I was tearing up and going, oh my gosh, a five-year-old just explained to me after all these years that I'm not supposed to fit in. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is like a whole new world. And I'll never forget that kid's face. He just smiled and he goes, you're welcome. And I was like, oh my, don't tell me that there are not some pretty special people in here. So you too. So anyway.
Uniqueness, right? I mean, without uniqueness, we wouldn't have innovation. We wouldn't have products. We wouldn't have all the things that, I mean, thank goodness for all the unique kids out in the world.
Well, listen to Elon Musk for 5 minutes in a conversation, and the dude is completely on the spectrum. I mean, that guy is like as Asperger's as you can be. I mean, anybody, and people going, oh, he's so weird. No, he's not weird. He's a genius, but he just doesn't know how. This is his dysfunction that's actually his function. And I think that's what people forget. The dis is put on too much. I function differently than you do. And I see things that you don't see, and you see things I don't see. I honestly think, I'm not getting into something, this has nothing to do with anything here, but I think that people on the spectrum might actually see the world the right way, and the rest of us see it the wrong way. Or, you know what I mean? I think that they see things that the rest of us don't. I've had too many people come up to me that are on the spectrum and say things, and I just go, oh my gosh, you totally get it. And I am still sitting here trying to figure it out, which I think is just the greatest thing. But that has nothing to do with education, freedom, except that we should be free to be able to explore things like that. And I am not a scientist or a psychologist. So any of you that want to call me and say anything, I'm not going to change my mind. That's what I believe. So don't write me and just pretend like I didn't say it if it bothered you. Jessica, my point was you're a good mom and you have guts. And you did you're a mama bear and you did what was right for your kids. And that's an awesome thing. And Donna, you're just like a political like killer out here. And I can't wait to see what you do. Just a regular woman who's got a heart for kids and education, and you're finding your way through this. And you're a powerhouse in Oregon. And I think that's pretty powerful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Just doing it for the kids. So
you're welcome. All right. Well, thank you too. And again, Education Freedom for Oregon is that your website?
Yes, Education Freedom for Oregon. We need volunteers to help us collect signatures. We need volunteers to help us in many other ways. We need folks to sign the petition, which they can get off of our website. And we need donations because we need to have the money to pay for the printing and the advertising and the going around the state. And I almost forgot to tell you, we bought a little yellow school bus. We are so excited to bring our little school bus on. It's being painted right now. We've had some, you know, brake work we needed to do, but we're going to use that bus and we're going to tour all over Oregon. We're going to put a little tracker on it. So like on Christmas Eve, NORAD, and you track Santa Claus across the world, we're going to have a little tracker. We're going to take it to parades. We're going to take it to, you know, all these different events. We want all the kids to say, hey, mom, there's the school choice bus, and take pictures of it and send it to us, because we want to show that it's not an either or, it's not public school or something else, that private school, public school, homeschool, charter schools, they all coexist and they can all work wonderfully together, because the focus is getting these kids in the environment that lights them up, that taps into their full potential and gives them the best world and the best education. And so our school bus is a symbol of how education is for all kids, and we're going to drive the bus around, and we're excited to have you guys see it and take pictures. And
okay, so when you get the bus, then you have a phone, right?
Oh yeah, I will send you pictures.
No. You can send me pictures, but then I want to do a live with you in the bus.
Oh, okay.
You could be in your phone, and you can have it full of some kids or something, And we'll just do a little quick. I'll just break in on a show and have you come on and show us the school bus. And, especially like if you do like a, if you're doing like a big, you know, which you will, is like, we're here, it's here, you know, like that kind of thing. And do a little press conference or something. Then afterwards or something, we'll just put you on a show.
Okay.
And put a bunch of kids in there and have some fun with it. Okay. That's a date.
Good. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good symbol of the unitedness of all these different schooling environments and how it's all about the kids.
All right. Thanks, you two. We appreciate
you. All right. Thank you.
Okay, all right. See you later. Bye, Jessica. Thank you. Nice meeting you. All right, you guys. So there you go. So that's what we're talking about. Choice, school choice in Oregon. And here's seriously. Okay. So I just had a friend who ran for an office, and when he told people he was going to run, everybody came out and said, oh yeah, we'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. And none of them showed up. And that's what happens in politics a lot. You get really excited for Donna, Jessica, the cause, what they're doing. And you say, oh yeah, yeah, that's really neat. And you feel good about it. And then you forget about it. That didn't do anything. Apathy is the killer in Oregon. So if you want to live in a state that continues to be the same, then just be apathetic. And as long as you feel good about it, it's not going to do anything. It costs money to run a campaign. So put your money where your mouth is. I mean, $5, $10. I'm not talking your life savings. I'm just saying you have to throw a little at it. You know, there's a biblical principle that if you don't participate in the giving, God's real big on that. He didn't give a shit about 10% of your income. I'm just saying. What he cares about is your heart. So if you're going to say, I want to do something, then you have to invest in that. And that means investing time and a little bit of money and some effort. And when you're out with your friends, you talk about this stuff. And that's how you make change in Oregon. But you have to be part of it. And if you're not, I don't care how you feel. I'm sorry, I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter how you feel. Because we all, this feels really good right now, doesn't it? Because I feel like things, something's going to happen. But if I don't keep participating and doing lives with Donna and getting the word out there, then I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I think kids in Oregon are worth it. I really do. I just have this sneaking feeling that something's going to change. Something in Oregon's going to change. And I'm going to be in Montana going, you know, I love my new state and I'm not sorry I did it, but I'm so glad that people woke up. There's a lot of people woking up, and then there's people who are waking up. Be a waker upper. Don't be a woker upper. Woke isn't going to get you anywhere, but another divisive argument. Waking up, we'll bring you together. And that's what we need in Oregon right now. No more division. That should be the tagline. Welcome to Oregon. No more division.